I'll tell you what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about inteligencia artificial.
We're doing
better known as artificial intelligence.
What's up? What's with the voice? Yeah, of course.
That's my voice, man.
My favorite movie. One of my top favorite movies. One? The one with the kid, right? Yeah. And then, the one he's a robot. He ends up being a robot.
Is that Bruce Willis, isn't it?
It's Bruce. No. You're thinking about Sixth Sense.
Also a good movie.
Yeah.
Wait, artificial intelligence. That's with the kid.
Yeah.
I remember the logo.
That was my first introduction to artificial intelligence. Back in, that was, I think, 2000, that movie.
It's very early, yeah.
Very, very long, very, very old movie.
I don't remember what it's about, actually. Are you sure it wasn't Bruce Willis? Are you going to look it up?
I am. That's the benefit of having a computer here.
While you do that, there's also Her. Remember Her?
Her, yeah, of course.
Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah. It's more recent movie. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
It's the kid from The Sixth Sense.
Yeah, it is the same kid.
That's what I thought it was, Bruce Willis. That's where my mind went.
Yeah, it's the same kid, but then Haley Joel.
Mm.
And then you've got, Bruce Willis isn't here.
No, it's not. I just got my wires crossed.
We should watch it again. In saying that though.
Together.
I think one of the things, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Watch the movie together.
You said you should watch. We should watch. I was like, together.
Oh, right. No, I said you should. I've already seen it.
Which one?
Artificial Intelligence.
All right.
It's a great movie, actually. And
do you think it's ahead of its time?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's ahead of its time even now.
Right. I don't remember anything about it. So.
Oh, and this, yeah. I don't want to spoil it then, because it's a really good movie, even for what it stands. But you've seen Her, so we can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's weird. No, it's not weird. It's a very original idea. Still the idea of love, right?
Still, it's based around that, but it's,
you know. The guy falls in love with, hopefully... We're not going to give it away, but...
Well, yeah, we shouldn't even talk about movies anyway.
Spoiler alert. He falls in love with the assistant.
Basically,
Alexa.
If we put things in context, it's this idea that virtual reality, it's so ingrained in human...
You mean artificial humanity. Intelligence?
Artificial intelligence. What did I say?
Virtual reality.
Oh, man. You know what? Scrap these 3 minutes.
No, we're definitely keeping this.
Nah, right? It's such a blooper, huh? So, hold on.
So, the metaverse, yes.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Artificial intelligence.
No, like, for real. So, artificial intelligence is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's become part of humanity.
Okay.
And so, basically, humans have learned to live around around technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Yeah, this guy falls in love with something, someone. Well, it is something, actually.
It's something. It's, yeah.
It doesn't exist.
But now, also, Black Mirror.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
The husband dies.
Yeah.
And then she wants... And then this company, the service provider, you can continue to stay in touch with it, with the... She can do stay in touch with her husband.
Oh, right.
They download all the... So they crawl the text messages and voice.
Yeah, and then create
calls.
A robot based
and
on...
And she's messaging him, but obviously it's
sure.
A,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
an AI machine.
I vaguely remember the episode, but yeah.
Such
it's,
a good episode.
It is.
Man.
I think she gets to deliver a guy that looks exactly like her husband, and it's got... Every memory, everything
embedded
in the robot, yeah, so it behaves
based
like
on all
the guy.
Text messages and emails and voice calls that they exchange, so the machine learned.
But he's still a robot, so it doesn't feel natural.
Yeah,
right. I think the whole idea about artificial intelligence in that context, it's still a utopia.
Oh yeah,
a dystopian world, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you think about artificial intelligence in the context that we're talking about right now, we're thinking more within the current technology, what's available, and also how it affects our industry, and in a sense as well how it can elevate it, because there's a big opportunity.
Oh yeah, 100%. A lot of people say that we're gonna lose our jobs, you know.
Yeah.
But also, it's like, well, not really.
It was such an interesting thing to see at this conference that we went recently where people were talking about how, like, there was a common question, like, how can we leverage it and how can we not get out of a job?
Yeah.
I never thought about IA in that way.
No.
Maybe it was ignorance, but...
As in, they might take your jobs?
I mean, yeah.
At the moment, they build cars, right? And they also, we use Grammarly, for example, every day. And,
right.
And Grammarly, because, you know, we can't speak or write English.
Yeah, that's a different problem. Yeah,
that's a different problem.
Well, yeah. I know what you mean.
But no, in all seriousness, I can't be serious after that one. But that's some kind of AI, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I think the way I see... Just to build on that point.
I don't know if copywriters worry about that.
No. There's actually one tool which we can talk about later called Jasper. I keep getting the ads on Instagram. And it's basically better copywriting, or at least that's, you know, what they propose.
That's what they're saying, the 30-second video.
Smarter copywriting. Now, I never thought about it in that way of, oh, I'm scared about losing my job, because so far what I've seen AI do for me is to help me like achieve certain tasks that could otherwise be boring or that could take a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Hence Grammarly, for example. I'm not trying to replace the fact that I need to learn English, but
it does help to write
but it does
emails.
Help. Yeah, 100%.
And that's as far as I will take it.
Yeah. And recently you introduced me to DALL-E, which I had no idea it existed.
DALL-E? Yeah, so for context, I haven't used it. I know there's all these artificial intelligence platforms. They're like in early stages.
Yeah.
As in, they're not as powerful as another design or image generating software, right?
Yeah.
You know, all your Adobes and all that sort of stuff. So they all feel like a little bit in beta at the moment.
Yeah.
But DALL-E, you can pay a little bit extra and then get access to more features and that sort of stuff. But basically, do you know how roughly these platforms work?
I understand the basic foundations, but explain it anyway. Someone might be listening to this and not knowing.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert.
Right, yeah.
Right? Just let's put it out there.
Yeah.
But basically, in a nutshell, you put in the, you need to feed the machine, right?
Yeah.
So you ask the machine to do something or to create something by giving them input.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm thinking about maybe two guys in the studio recording a podcast, and you can go as deep as you want, you know, wearing a light blue t-shirt and a denim shirt kind of thing. And then you can select the style of it as well.
Yeah.
So is it...
Is it a Picasso? Is it a Van Gogh?
Yeah,
is
exactly. It like what's the style?
Is minimalist or like futurist?
Correct. And then off it goes and generates, and then you can start refining from there.
Yeah.
I recently used a very basic version of this with the Canva tool.
Right.
So Canva is a design tool for non-designers.
Yeah.
And they usually plug in all the different platforms within Canva. So Typeform is one. So you can create a form within your presentation, Google Maps, et cetera.
Okay.
And the one that they use, I can't remember what it's called for image generating, but it's text to images.
Okay.
So it's literally black computer on top of a wooden table at sunset.
Yeah.
So you got to give it a time and a place and, you know.
You got to be specific.
As much as you can, yes. And then you select the style. So it could be a painting, it could be a drawing, it could be a realistic photo.
Okay.
And it takes a little while to generate, but it does it. It does it to a degree that you don't have to go and take a photo of a black laptop on a wooden table.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So the concept is there.
Yeah. And I think that's where I am really, really intrigued. Actually, more than intrigued, I'm just fascinated that that's the sort of tool that can help us creatives and designers in general be more efficient. So I saw a little bit of how DALL-E works, DALL-E 2. Apparently there was a DALL-E 1. Yeah. And so without knowing too much about it, I just saw how it worked. And one example they show on their website, which was really cool, is the photo of an empty room.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. and then different versions of the same, or like different couches in that same room. So my mind, where my mind went was, you know how right now there's the AR technology, augmented reality, mm-hmm. where you can take a photo of a place,
yeah.
or actually with your phone, you can place move it around object. And place an object.
Yeah.
That's think about it. Like you could also use that. You could also use DALL-E as a way to see and paint the picture, literally, of what the room could look like if you had a different setting.
Yeah. And we saw, now they say that, we saw that with Shopify, remember, at the conference?
Yeah.
There's an ad for Shopify. It's like, I can't remember what the tagline was, but it's basically not just buying something, but creating something.
Like creating something, yeah.
Like, it was something like, hey, Alexa, give me a wallpaper with such and
such. Oh, yeah, and, that was really cool, yeah.
And then through this, it was the phone was pointing at the wall, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
And then it was recreating this wallpaper.
The wallpaper,
and
yeah.
then right then and there, you will click buy. And that was yeah. it. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool. See, I think that's where I'm, you know, really excited. I was thinking as I went through this process of, you know, reading more about what AI can do for designers, I found this article that talks about the potential of using it for mood boards
mm-hmm. okay.
and the brainstorming process.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That was really cool because basically it suggests that you can generate a bunch of images
so
based
of
on
going
the style.
And dragging and dropping your own mood board.
Yeah, think about it. Like, how long do you take to create a mood board mm-hmm. before you start a project? Sometimes it can take even a day if you want to go very
right.
deep.
And I think mundane tasks like those, they can easily be done by a machine.
You can generate it. It can generate process. Hundreds of images mm-hmm. for you mm-hmm. with the style that you are after.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that's a full day turned into mm-hmm. you know, a few minutes.
There's another platform called Midjourney. And again, startup
yep.
website. I think they claim about 11 full-time members.
Yep.
And they're hiring at the moment as well, developers, something like that. But the point is that it looks super basic, the website.
Yep.
It's like someone did it in one afternoon.
Okay.
But the platform is amazing, man. And then the artwork, like the artwork they output is like at 8K resolution. Like, it's just amazing. And there's there's a page on LinkedIn. I think it's called Artificial Inspiration or something like that.
Okay.
I'm going to look it up again and see if I can include it in the visuals here. But basically, it's just like a whole gallery of beautiful artwork created by this machine.
Yeah.
And then they credit their creators or the artists. What do you think? Would you call them artists? Someone who created something
on software using artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
I think.
Or creators? Would you call them creators? Who's the creator there, right?
I mean, you can be a designer and use Canva. I don't think the tool determines.
But you are pushing the pixels there. In this case, you are not doing that.
Sure, but
she's doing it for you.
I mean, it depends for what you use it for, right? I think this is where my mind's going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you use the tool and then you curate the work before you present it,
mm-hmm.
let's say, for example, you're a designer and then you're trying to create something using something like DALL-E,
mm-hmm.
and then the end result, you have to curate because you got like a few hundred options and then you refine it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can continue. I would still call you a designer, I think.
Creator.
Yeah, you're still creating something. You still got to do something.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are just pretending that the machine is going to do everything for you. I don't know why I say machine, but the technology is going to do everything for you. Then I don't think you are creating anything beyond just pushing phrases for it to generate.
Where I see this technology going is in our industry, it's probably creating a website from scratch.
Yeah.
By just telling the machine, I'm going to stick to the machine term.
Yeah.
Telling the machine what you want it to be.
Yeah.
So how many pages, you know, input the copy here, how many, what's in the menu item. And then in my mind, it would generate like a wireframe kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then from there, you, as a designer, then you can take it on to the next, take it up to the next step.
Yeah. It's like the mundane tasks that take a long time and effort.
Yeah.
You can like speed up that process. And I think that's where it's really interesting. There was another tool called Quanda, which I found, you know, in it's not, it's in beta as well, as you were saying, and it's actually got to join a wait list, not actually out there yet.
Scarcity, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, I think it's just it's in development, but basically the whole idea behind it is that the AI can actually sample data sets and also do all the inside analysis of a piece of research. So you can also and then on top of that, it's real cool. And then you can train you can train the AI to actually run the test. So if you actually, if you're doing, let's say, user testing and any, that sort of research, you can basically train it with the questions that you want to ask and the information that you want to get, and then it'll do it for you. Like I said, still in beta, so I'm not sure how it actually works at the moment and the full scope of it, but that's the intention, which I thought was cool because, I mean, I think of so many projects where I've spent even weeks trying to organize all the data after you've done, you know,
I've seen you doing that.
All the, all the interviews. It's like, it's so mentally exhausting. If you can actually simplify that and get way, way more accurate insights as well, because there's only so much you can do, right? Sometimes you're so brain tired that you skip some things and that you actually miss the patterns, and there's stuff naturally that you're gonna not that you're gonna forget. So I think this will just simplify that process.
I feel like there's a race for the next big piece of tech. you have VR, AR, and then remember, do you remember those 3D TVs?
Like a few years ago that didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. Like, is this gonna be one of those things, or is this gonna be like the next internet?
I mean, I don't think it's gonna go away like that. I think artificial intelligence has been, you know, in development for such a long time that it's not like it's here to, it's just another novelty thing. But I do think that the whole idea around it needs to change. Like, think about it. We were thinking, right now, like one of our references of artificial intelligence were robots turn into humans. That's not the, that's not what it is, right?
No,
so I think slowly
it is if you are Elon Musk, and then did you see the robot?
Oh, I mean, yeah, if you are thinking long term like that, and you may, but right now and for our context, it's not the case. It's, if anything, it's just that there are tools, right, for improving our processes. And I want to talk a little bit more about this because, again, like there seems to be this fear of machine learning is going to take over and I'm going to be jobless. do you think like where do you think that fear comes from? Because
from the movies.
I mean, it's sort of I mean, it is a bit irrational though, because you know, it's not going to happen.
Like machines taking over the world, and that whole concept of robots and humans. Just I think.
Sure,
but I mean, like, that's an exaggeration, right? But
yeah,
it's got to be something from coming from there.
Yeah, but in the context of what we do, like as creatives, like why would a tool like DALL-E replace a designer? You know, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe if they get super smart and they start doing those mundane jobs that people usually do.
Yeah.
Then that's when you start to get rid of that human error. It's all about the human error, getting rid of that, right?
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, you say creative industry, but quickly going to another industry, automotive, you know, they start to, you have robots putting pieces together. So you don't have humans there anymore, right? So I think that's where it's coming as well, as is shifting to other industries.
Yeah.
You've seen it happening in other ones in the past. And then you're like, what am I going to call myself now or next? What am I going to do next, right?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why I asked this question, because it may sound like a trivial question, but I want to know if other people think like that and they're actually scared of losing their job.
Yeah.
Like, it sounds like you may not be. I'm definitely,
I don't think I am.
I'm definitely not. Like, if anything, you can leverage, artificial intelligence in your advantage and, like, you know, improve improve the work that you do. Yeah. Like, you know, I was thinking...
Yeah, if they become so smart that you can't do that job, then it'll be like hiring a human, you know? Like, imagine if I was scared of you because you're better than I am at something, which you are.
Exactly.
But also I'm better than you and other people at other things. So we just kind of complement each other.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the way I see it. Just it'll enable us as designers or creatives.
It's like, imagine if one day it's the technology becomes so smart that you no longer need to hire people, right? And then all of a sudden you create an agency that has zero employees but yourself. I think
it's run by AI.
Yeah. I think even at that point, yeah, it'd be cool. But I'm trying to like think a scenario where, you know, I don't know, 50 years in time or something like that, and then like tech so advanced. Anyway, you still need that human element because you still need to do, you still need to have someone controlling the projects and, you know, having a humane conversation with the clients. You can't pretend that everything's going to be automated.
What if you're talking to a machine at the other end? You think it's a client. It's actually a machine.
Well, no, I'm talking about AI. Like, you know, we are transacting and then the work gets done behind the scenes.
Purely the work.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like using tech. Even then, like, I think, in my opinion anyway, like this fear is irrational. And, you know, I could think of so many examples of where this can actually help enable a better industry. You know, brainstorming sessions, for instance, right? You know, there's only so many ideas that us humans can come up with in a short period of time. Imagine if you can have a computer just giving you ideas, all those ideas on the spot. Are
based on our experiences, right?
Right.
Like, maybe things that we've heard, but we don't have the time capacity to crawl the whole internet for all the ideas.
Exactly.
That machine can.
Give you an example. Like, we need to sit down and spend time coming up with content ideas for a podcast. Imagine if we use machine learning to give us another 100 ideas based on our criteria. Yeah, we could say, you know, we're doing a podcast, two designers with a Latino accent, and I'm actually saying this specifically because it'll be really cool to see what actually gives you back. Imagine like the stuff that
do you think the machine will be a bit racist and start,
I don't know,
start, like throwing Latin themes, you know, like
I mean, you know what, like when
profiling and
I read this book many years ago that was about that touched on the subject of AI. I'm talking like maybe 6 years ago, okay? And then something that it brought up was the fact that artificial intelligence, when it's used bad, it can actually be harmful.
Okay.
And so there was this example of, I believe, if it's Pinterest, don't quote me on this. Yeah, essentially it was image recognition.
Okay.
So it'll see a photo and it'll try to pick on what the image was. So if you're uploading a photo, then you could get a quick description of what the photo was without you needed to write one. And
this is about the black guy?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Pinterest, but yeah.
I can't remember what platform it was, but that was my...
I kind of want to remember the... was it Google?
No, I don't think it was Google. I think... I don't think it was... Yeah, I don't know. Actually, yeah. I don't want to try to remember because I won't.
Yeah, right.
Right now, but
but that was the context. Well, sorry, finish the story.
Well, essentially, they were saying it got racist because this person was trying to upload the photo of a black person, and then the description was something like a gorilla.
Yeah,
and so I read that and I was like, wow. Clearly things can go south easily here, right? Yeah. So I think it got a bad rep then, and you know, I lost track too. I have no idea what happened in the end and where it went.
Yeah. But I do remember it was quite resonated.
Yeah. The case here is that as the technology evolves, I think there are definitely better ways of, you know, leveraging the tech and making good use of it.
Well, I guess well, we're not we're not scientists or anything. We've worked with, well, I don't know if you have, but back at AKQA, remember that experiment they did with AI? They trained the machine to play
a video game.
A video game.
Yeah.
And then every time it will learn, every time it died,
yeah,
it will learn on the next life, and then it play for like thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
And then the next step was what they did at the semi-permanent conference in Sydney is that they, well, no, the trial they did at AKQA was they connected the machine to the human nerves and the arms by needles. I think it was a way of needles. I can't remember now. It was, so it was a wire coming out of the computer.
Yeah, give a bit of context as well. If someone
so it's an arcade machine, right? And then it's got a computer plug-in, and the computer is playing the game.
Right.
And every time the computer dies, or the next life, it learned from the previous life, right?
So you become better and better and better.
So it becomes better and better and better, and it starts to learn all these patterns. So you could see the progress there.
Yeah.
The next thing they did is that they wired up, like, literally a human, mm-hmm. like somebody.
Yeah.
They I think there was some needles or some.
Did they have needles, or it was more
It was something. It was maybe some electric shocks that they were triggering the nerves.
Correct.
That were connected to the hand and the finger.
Yes.
Right? So the machine knew that this was your index and this was your thumb and whatever.
Yeah.
And all you had to do is like hover on top of the buttons, and then the machine will trigger your your finger. So you didn't have to move.
It was
doing it for you. So it was just like.
It was insane. I remember seeing it.
Yeah, like when you press one of your nerves, and then the finger kind of comes back in.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, but then it got really dangerous. Well, it didn't, but it was dangerous, I think, to the degree that if something went wrong, it would go straight onto your system, like your.
Is that why they stopped it?
That's why they stopped it, and they didn't showcase that live at the conference, but they have video, they have footage of it.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were explaining all this, everything that I just said, in a better way, obviously, and with some data.
Yeah.
But, man, that was the first time I saw something going from, you know, something real.
Yeah.
And that was pretty impressive.
It is cool, actually. I remember seeing it as well and thinking, this is interesting.
It was Asteroids was the game, I think. What's it called? On space.
Wasn't space in space?
Oh, one of those.
Space Invaders?
Yeah, one of those.
I remember it was like an old arcade.
From the 80s.
And then, which, by the way, it's a pretty tricky game. So the whole concept behind using artificial intelligence that's learning so fast to help improve the game, I think that's really cool. It's just interesting that all these experiments are quite scary because sometimes... You know, they involved.
You don't know. Yeah.
They involved the human side of it, and sometimes that isn't, you know, the best.
Something's gonna give.
As in, like, it can go really bad, like the example I was saying before. But you know, for the tools that are out there and that you know have like a real purpose, I think there's lots of opportunities, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more that we haven't thought of.
Yeah.
That are, you know.
Maybe we should start getting involved a bit more in AI.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting space for sure.
See what happens.
And yeah.
Maybe the thumbnail for this episode is created by an AI tool.
Oh, should we give it a go? Yeah, that'd be cool.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I like that. Nice. Right.
Catch you next time.
All right, man.